Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, saints. It is an honor to be able to stand before you today. I ask that you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. As you turn there, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you today, Lord God, in expectancy of your word, Lord Jesus. Right now, even as Pastor said, we prepare the soil of our hearts. Right now, Lord Jesus, that we break up the fallow ground, the hardened ground of our hearts. Lord Jesus, that we would remove the stones, that we would remove the weeds and the thorns that would try and choke up the seed that is to be planted in this place today. Lord Jesus, that we just come before you, Lord God, thanking you for who you are and for what you have done. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, that you are Lord of this house. Lord Jesus, that you are the one that reigns supreme in this place, that you are our King, Lord God, and we come to glorify and to honor you, Lord Jesus. As the ground is being prepared, Lord God, I ask, Lord Jesus, that your word would not return unto you void, Lord God, but that it would do what it was sent to accomplish, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I just submit myself to you today, Lord Jesus, as your vessel. Lord Jesus, that you would give me the words to speak unto your people and that it would be received. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We glorify you. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We magnify you. We make you bigger above any problem in any situation, in any circumstance. We magnify you, Lord God. And in the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you have John chapter 15, we'll be reading from verse 1 to 10. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Thank you, Jesus. I want to preach a message to you today. Prepare for growth. You may be seated. Prepare for growth. I believe that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for this church. I believe that the Lord is bringing us to a place of growth. But before we can get there, we need to go through some preparation. And as you know, recently, Minister Chris and myself, our family, we went through a season of unemployment of 9 months, and it was during that time that the Lord began to speak to me regarding this word. I want to talk to you about pruning. It's not something that is always easy. It is not something that feels very good, but I believe it is something that is necessary for us to prepare for growth. I want to look at 7 aspects of pruning, and we'll go through the natural and the spiritual, so please bear with me for a minute. Whenever Jesus tells these metaphors, these parables, these symbolisms, he always uses something that the people of the day would have been very familiar with. And the people of the day were very familiar with the idea of pruning, of the vine, of the branches. It was either, you know, probably grapes or olives. I'm not really too familiar with all that stuff. I've never been to a vineyard. I don't know how grapes grow on a vine other than just maybe a picture. So I want to take you through these different aspects of pruning, and I want us to really get an idea of what the Lord is trying to do in this place to prepare us for the growth that he has planned for us. So the first thing about pruning, and I'm going to talk more about trees because, like I said, Jesus used something that people were familiar with. I'm more familiar with trees. You can look outside, out right over here. There's an apple tree and I believe a cherry tree that Bishop Brownie, Mother Brownie, planted. there. And so I want to talk to you about trees and how we prune trees. So the first thing about pruning is that it happens during the winter. And here is winter. We are in the season of winter. It is a season that I am tired of, and I am very much looking forward to spring. But it is during this winter season, a dormant season when the tree is not actively growing, that is the best time for there to be pruning, because this is the time when there can be a clean cut and it will heal. If they did the pruning during the spring season when the tree is growing, the part that was pruned wouldn't heal properly. And so right now, I believe that we as a church, even as Pastor preached probably a few months back now, about knowing your season, know what season you're in. And I believe right now as a church, we are in this winter season as we are naturally. It's a season that doesn't always feel good. It's a season that seems to drag on forever. It's a season that sometimes in this season, people can even become depressed because of the lack of sunlight, the lack of fresh air. You don't want to go outside when it's freezing. And so all of these aspects, there's no color. The color of spring isn't there. It's white and gray and dreary. Not all the time. There's some things that are pretty about winter, but that's what it feels like. It feels just ugh. And so it is during this season that the Lord wants to come and he wants to prune. The second thing is that you need the right utensil. In order to correctly prune a tree, it needs to be sharp, very sharp. And it's typically a handheld pruning shear. And this item, if it's not sharp, if you don't get a clean cut off of the branch, it will not be able to heal. If a part of it is left there, if it was not cut properly, that part that is left will continue to try and grow. So we need to allow a sharp item to be able to cut it. The third thing is that, so now we know the prep, right? So we're in winter. We've got our tool. It's nice and sharp. As the gardener now approaches the tree, he's looking for the most vertical branch on that tree. And it's normally going to be a sapling, something that's only a few years old. And so he looks for the branch that is the most vertical, and that becomes his lead branch that he is going to compare all the other branches to. Now that he has done that, he is ready to start cutting. The fourth thing is that he comes and removes first all of the dead and diseased branches, because those obviously can never bear fruit. If it is dead, if you look at a tree and you see a dead branch, you know it because there's no leaves. No life can grow on that dead branch. So that's the first thing that he removes from the tree. The fifth thing he does is he starts now looking at that lead branch and looking at all the other branches that are around it and starting to compare these branches, because there's certain angles that a branch should be at in order for it to optimally produce fruit. It's about a 45-degree angle. Any branch that is too high at a narrow angle in relation to that lead, the fruit will be too high that the farmer can't harvest it. And if that branch is at too wide of an angle and it's too close to the ground, when it begins to bear fruit, the weight of the fruit will break the branch. So he cuts off those branches that are either too high or that are too low. Now all he's left with are the branches that are right in the middle, the branches at about 45 degrees, but yet there's still more that he's got to cut off. He needs to thin those branches, because if those branches, now please bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this, those branches that are too close together will end up diseasing the tree, because when they're too close together, there can't be airflow in between the branches. And when there's not that airflow, there can be infestation. The bugs will get in there because they don't like the air. They don't like the wind. They like it to be nice and tight and close. And so he'll then thin the branches. And when you're done and you're looking at this tree, you're thinking, what in the world did this guy do? Like, it was, when you came to the tree, it was nice and it was full of branches. They trim out almost everything. They leave just a few branches very specifically chosen around that tree, because that farmer, that gardener, has a picture in his mind of what he wants that tree to be, and he's not looking at that tree what it looks like now, because right now it looks like he just desolated that tree. But what he's looking at is when those branches are going to begin to grow. Prepare for growth, church. The final thing that he does is, now with those branches left, he still cuts off more. He cuts off about 30% of the last year's growth, and that's to make it vigorous. It'll make it vigorous growth. And also he finds buds. So on each branch, there'll be buds all over the branch. And each bud is pointing in a different direction. And he will choose the bud. He will look at those buds and find the bud that is pointing in the direction that he wants that branch to grow. And he will cut it right there at that bud. So now let's go back. Let's go back to this main text here in John 15, and let's see what the Lord is trying to do for us. How is it that the Lord is trying to prepare us for growth? So here in the winter season, the season where it doesn't seem to be anything good. And that's where I was when myself and my husband were going through our season of unemployment. It was like, God, why are we here? We keep praying, like, he would have job interview after job interview. And it's like, okay, this is the one. This is going to do it. And in my head, I'm praying, Lord, if this isn't the right one, I want you to close the door. But if it's the right one, open the door. That's what I was saying. But actually, in my head, I'm thinking, open the door. Open the door. It's a season that is hard to endure because it seems like there is no life. It seems like there is no progress. It is a dormant time. But it was during that time that the Lord really began to prune me. And I believe that I want you to analyze yourself, analyze the situations that you're in and say, okay, Lord, am I in this season? Am I in this winter season? You know, the things around me, they don't look that good. But it's during that time that God is able to prune you. All right, so the second part is now we need the utensil. What utensil is it that we need to be pruned? Well, we see here in our verse in John 15:3, it says, now ye are clean, or it also means pruned, through the word. It is the word of God that prunes us. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is nothing spiritually that is sharper than the word of God. The third point is now that we need to choose our lead branch. And I think that's a pretty obvious one. But John 15:1 tells us that Jesus is the true vine. It is Jesus that becomes our lead branch. We have to make that choice that we are going to compare everything else in our life to Jesus, to that most vertical branch. We aren't going to compare ourselves to the other branches that are leaning one way or leaning the other. We need to choose Jesus as that lead branch. And with that comes this abiding. We see this a lot in this passage in John 15:4-5. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That as Jesus is our lead, as he is that true vine, we need to abide in him. We need to allow ourselves to be connected to him. It says that we can't do anything except we are connected to him. That in order for us to prepare ourselves for growth, we first must be connected to Jesus, because there is no growth that can happen except through him. That we are nothing. We can do nothing without him, but thankfully we are not without him. Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That when we are connected to that vine, even though without him we can do nothing, when we are with him, there is nothing that is impossible for us. That his strength will give us the ability to do all things. Thank you, Jesus. Goes on to say in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. That when we are abiding in Jesus and his words are abiding in us, that we have the power and the authority to ask what we will, to declare what the word says, and it shall be done unto us. That we have authority through this abiding. We have ability through this submission unto the lead branch, this clinging unto him, because without him we can do nothing. And what does that look like to have his words abiding in us? Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt find good success. That we need to have the word in our mouth, and we need to have the word on our mind. We need to be speaking the word, and we need to be meditating on the word. Psalms 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Thank you, Jesus. We need to be connected to the vine. We need to abide in Jesus. We need to abide in his word. The next point is the removing of the dead and the unfruitful branches. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. John 15:6, a little farther, says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. God desires to remove from us branches that are dead and branches that will never be able to produce fruit in our lives. These branches are burdensome to the church. And it says here in Romans 7:5, it says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions or desires of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members or in our body to bring forth fruit unto death. Now, what is this fruit unto death? Well, we see later in this book, in Romans 8:6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That the carnal mind brings death. To be carnally minded means to be focused on the things of this world, to be focused on the things of that our flesh can see and feel and hear and taste and touch, that we are so preoccupied with the things of this flesh, to be carnally minded. James 1:5 says that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So it is this lust, it is this sin that brings forth death in our members. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. God wants to cut some things off. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What are these unfruitful works of darkness? Well, we see it just a little ways back in that same chapter in Ephesians 5:3. It says, but fornicators and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. The Lord is wanting us to put off some things here. He wants us to cast off these dead works of the flesh. Ephesians 4:22 through 23 says that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. That we need to take off the works of sin. We need to take off the old man, and we need to put on the new man of Christ. Luke 3:9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Moving on to the next point, the next thing that he does is he now is looking at the branches, and he's looking at them in relation, remember, to that lead. And he's looking at those branches that are too high and those branches that are too low. And I want to talk to you first about those branches that are too high. These branches block out the sunlight from the branches beneath. They hinder any other branches below them from their fruit being able to ripen. And their fruit is so high that it is unattainable to anyone. It is no good to anyone. And I believe what the Lord is trying to prune out of us through this is a self-righteousness. Look at my branches. Look at my fruit. You can't touch it. You're not good enough for it. And now that I am drawing attention to myself, attention to my own righteousness, I am taking the focus off of God. I'm taking the focus away from Jesus, and now no one below me can even see him. They can't feel the sun. They can never have their fruit ripen because all they see is me. Here I am. Here's my good works. But don't we know that our works are as filthy rags before God? That all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no point in glorifying ourselves. There is no point in saying, look at me and look what I can do. That brings no glory to God and it brings no benefit to anyone around us. They can never attain the fruit that God has for us to bear. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. That we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Now, this next point of the branches that are too low, this is a branch that is just a bit too comfortable with the world, a bit too comfortable with the things of the world. They have one foot in church, but one foot in the world. They don't have a hatred for evil. The Bible says that we are to hate evil. That's in Proverbs. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That we as a body of Christ need to stop getting comfortable with the things of this world, and we need to get a hatred for evil. We need to get a hatred for the things of this world. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of my Father abideth forever. Thank you, Jesus. We need to cut off this worldliness. We need to separate ourselves from the things of this world, from the love of this world. Now, the sixth point here, we need to thin the branches. So now we've cut off this dead stuff. We've cut off all of the fruits that lead unto death. And we have now aligned ourselves with the lead. We've gotten ourselves where we have removed our pride. We have removed our self-righteousness. We have also removed the love of the world. We have grown a hatred for evil. Now remember, this is all in preparation for growth. In order to grow, we need to take these steps and allow God to prune us. So now we are in a point where now we have all these branches that are in a good location, but yet they are too crowded. What is this? Have any of you ever just been so busy? You've been so busy doing and doing and doing, but yet you see no fruit? You see no fruit of your labor. You're just constantly doing. It's like you're on a treadmill going nowhere. That is not the Lord's will for your life. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may, listen here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That if you are just going through the motions, if you are just doing and doing and doing, and you are not seeing the fruit of your labor, you have not proved what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. It is not the Lord's will for you to run yourself ragged and have nothing to show for it. It is the Lord's will for you. It is the Lord's will for you to know what his plan is for your life, to know where you are supposed to be growing, and to know what it is that you are supposed to be doing. So if you are in this position where you are too cluttered, I want you to submit yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Really, we need to do this in all of these aspects of pruning. We need to submit ourselves unto him as a living sacrifice. Now, this is a daily thing, so I want you to listen to this. A living sacrifice. Look at the picture of what the Jews would have taken this as. That every day they were sacrificing unto the Lord. They were killing a lamb and they were placing it on the altar. That is what God wants us to do. Daily putting ourselves on that altar of submission. Now, that word there, living sacrifice. Now, a living sacrifice has the ability to get up off that altar. And that's why to us it has to be a daily thing. We must daily take up our cross and follow him. We have to daily make the choice to place ourselves on the altar before the Lord and allow him to have the rule over our lives. Now here, after we have presented ourselves to the Lord as this living sacrifice, now we have to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It is so easy. We are in this world, but we are not supposed to be of this world. And it is so easy as we are in this world and we go about our motions to just conform to that image that they are showing us. It is so easy to allow ourselves to begin to look like the world in the way that we speak, in the way that we have our relationships, in the way that we dress, in the way that we handle our business. It is so easy for us to just fall in line with that. But we need to make the conscious choice not to allow ourselves to be conformed to the image that they are presenting us, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it is when we have done that, that we will prove, that means to make manifest, to reveal to us that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure," that he has good plans for you, plans to be fruitful and plans to grow. Now the final step, step 7, is that now he has removed the dead branches. He has removed all branches that are not in proper alignment with that lead. Now he has thinned the branches, and now all that's left are just a few branches sporadically around that tree. And yet he still cuts more. And he looks at that branch, and he looks at those buds, and he looks at all the directions that branch could grow, and he makes a clean cut at the bud that is growing in the direction that he wants you to go. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That God wants to lead you into the things that he has you to do. You have cut off all these things. Preparing for growth, remember, we've cut off all these things. We've aligned ourselves properly with that lead. We have thinned out all of the other branches. And now we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of the Lord in the direction that he is taking us. Hebrews 12:11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised or trained thereby." It's not easy to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. It is not easy to allow ourselves to be pruned. As the word of God comes as a sharp sword, it's our reaction in the flesh to recoil, to draw back. It seems grievous in the moment, but it says, "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." That church, the Lord has a plan for this church. The Lord has a desire for this church to grow. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." As the gardener comes to you today, he is seeing what he wants you to become. He is seeing the growth that will be when the spring comes. This winter season won't last always. This winter is going to pass, and when it does, spring will come, and there will be new life. There will be color. There will be beauty once again. And while we are in this season, know that the Lord's plan for you is good, even though it feels bad. Even though it hurts when that sword comes to cut off those branches, know that it is for your good. Know, church, that God loves you. Know that his love for you is unending. And it is because of that love that he wants to prune you, not to hurt you, but to help you. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28-30, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When you think about those branches, that he's trying to cut off. Those are just burdens that you don't have to be carrying. And if you don't allow him to prune these, they will lead to your destruction. These branches that hang too low, when you begin to walk in what the Lord has called you to, if you have these low-hanging branches, you know what happens? They break. That God is not calling you to a place where he's trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to remove this burden off of you. Because when you are holding on to these dead branches, when you are holding on to these branches that are unfruitful, it is not going to do you any good. And I present to you today, church, as the Lord is preparing us for growth, present yourself to him today as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. It's not a hard thing. Well, it seems hard in the flesh, but it's just a reasonable, it's a reasonable thing for us to do. Present yourself to him today, church, and allow him as that word comes to cut, realize that it is done out of love. That gardener loves those trees. Those trees are his livelihood. They are what bring him sustenance. He's not pruning them to hurt them. He is pruning them to make them fruitful so that they can grow. Present yourself to him today, church. Allow him to prepare you for the growth that he has for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, if you will stand. I first want to say to those who have not yet connected themselves to the vine, if you don't know what it is to abide in the vine, to abide in that love, I right now want to open up this altar for you, that you would come to a place of connectedness to your Savior. Come to a place where you find submission unto him and where you find your dependency on him, because no growth, remember, can happen unless you are first connected to that vine. Thank you, Jesus. And for those of you who have burdens that you are carrying, come and let the Lord take them from you. Let him cut off those burdens that you are carrying and take on his yoke, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, let your will be done in this place. Lord Jesus, let your spirit have preeminence in this place, Lord Jesus. Let your will be done, Lord God. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord Jesus, we submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to the gardener who has come to prune us, who has come to prepare us for the growth that he has for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your will for our lives. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your thoughts for us, that they are good, that they are not of evil, Lord Jesus, but to give us an expected end. Lord Jesus, that we put ourselves in alignment with you right now, Lord Jesus, that we would put ourselves on that altar, Lord God, to allow you to prune us, to allow you to take off the dead works of sin that we are carrying, to take off those the love of the world, to take off our self-righteousness, Lord Jesus, that we ask you to remove it from us right now, Lord Jesus. Prepare this body for growth. Prepare us, Lord Jesus, for your will and your plan. Lord God, that as we submit ourselves to you, as James 4:7 says, submit thyself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. As we put ourselves in submission unto you, Lord God, we resist the work of the devil in this place. And we command that he would leave, that he has no place in this church, that he has no place in our lives. In the name of Jesus, Satan, we rebuke you. Satan, we cast you off. We don't allow you to be a part of this body, Lord Jesus, that this is the house of God. Lord Jesus, prune us, Lord God. Prune us, Jesus. Prune us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Prune us, Jesus. Prune us, Lord God. Lord Jesus, let your love abide in us, Lord God. That we would understand the love that you have for us. That what the pruning that you are doing in our lives, it is not for our hurt, but it is for our growth. Jesus, let us see your love, O Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know this is the word for today. The altars are open. This is an opportunity for us to just receive whatever pruning God has for our lives, because the gardener does love us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's open our mouth wherever you are right now and reach out and touch heaven's throne. Right now, just start to reach out wherever you are and touch the throne of heaven. If you have a need this afternoon, God is ready, willing, and able to meet that need. We just have to acknowledge it. We just have to give him power of attorney. We just have to submit our will to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you will pray with me as I pray for those at the altar.